The individual speakers and callers, and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Problems, problems, problems all day long. Will my problems work out right or wrong? My baby don't like anything I do. My teacher seems to feel the same way too.
Good morning. You are tuned in to Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 660 AM, 97.5 FM, and I'm not getting any noise over my headset.
Ah. Turn the headphones up.
Ah, there we go. Now I think we got, oh, there we go. We got it set up right. Good morning. You're tuned in to KFAR Problem Corner, 660 AM, 97.5 FM. Your guest host this morning is Mike Prox, filling in for he who cannot be named. And with me in the studio is Brett Roderman. And we're going to be chatting about some local things, maybe get into some state things. Who knows? Open line if you want to call in and participate. The number to call is 458-8255. That's 458-TALK. And I got to start out with a little safety moment here as I was driving in thinking about too many different things. And I said, oh, how do I get there? And I got to turn down Noble Street and found myself on Noble Street thinking, wait a minute, now this is a two-way street. And how long has that been? So when you're driving, your primary responsibility is driving and pay attention.
Yeah, don't be thinking about KFAR.
Don't be thinking about KFAR or what you just did 10 minutes ago, whatever. Pay attention to what you're doing and look for traffic, and that will result in you avoiding some accidents. And so that would be a good thing. So with that, Mr. Roderman, we had an interesting meeting last night. That was kind of fun. I was, again, doing too many things. I was going to go down and testify and forgot all about it and was just driving home and heard Bruce Womack, turned out, talking about this subdivision. So then I turned around and went into the meeting, and it was interesting. So this was about a subdivision. Do you want to bring us up to date on the proposed subdivision?
Yeah, sure. First, my disclaimer, even though technically I don't have to do this anymore,
right,
based on our recent cone change, but yeah, these opinions are mine alone, do not represent the Fairbanks North Star Borough nor the North Star Borough Assembly.
Yes.
So there, now I'm legal. Right. So new subdivision out in the Esther area. That incorporated, oh gosh, what was it, 213 acres, I think, 260
something. Like
something. It was a large plot of land, and apparently a good chunk of it was undevelopable because of terrain. Mm-hmm. So basically the borough was proposing opening up this subdivision of, oh gosh, what was it, 30 some odd lots at 4 acres, so it was going to be zoned RE4. But the deal was, and this was kind of interesting to me, was that we, the borough, were going to do all of the development. We were going to put in the power. We were going to put in the roads, the whole nine yards. This is not something that's, in my opinion, is in our purview, shouldn't be done by the government. This should be something that's done by private industry. It's great that we're trying to get land into private hands, but we were basically skipping that process because as testimony went on, we found out that we hadn't even tried to sell this to a private developer. And so now we're going to go in and spend $1 million of your hard-earned taxpayer money to develop a subdivision. And all of this at the end to provide us maybe, maybe $100,000 in net profit. Plus, if we sell off the lots in 5 years, we get back the money that we put into the GVEA power poles, which could equate to another, oh gosh, I forget the dollar figure. It was a decent amount of money, but it wasn't substantial. But anyway, we would recover the cost of the power poles if we sold them in 5 years.
Keyword, if.
If we sold them in 5 years, these lots would sell for approximately $58,000 to $62,000 a piece, and all of that for a whopping $100,000. Now, the beauty is on the backside of this: if you could sell off all the lots, you would you would get that tax revenue,
right,
which would be great for the borough. You know, we need more land, we need more property development, but. There's no guarantees in property development. There are so many variables. And that was my big argument was, you know, in my business, if Mike were to come to me and say, hey, Brett, I want $1 million worth of snowplows. And I say, and I think to myself, okay, well, I want to make 10% off this. So I'm going to make $100,000. So I'm going to call Boss Snowplow and say, load them up and ship them. I sell them to you for $1.1 million. I pocket a cool $100,000. That's easy.
That's
very easy.
Yes.
When you're talking about property development, there's any number of variables that could come in to this. And you know, I think our borough staff has been really good lately at cost estimating. When I got on the borough, we were very poor at it. Costs were going through the roof, and our people were way behind the curve. They've done a fantastic job of catching up to the current marketplace, but we're not there. We oftentimes underestimate, and with a 10% gross margin here, this is getting really tight.
Things can and do go wrong, yes.
Especially in property development.
Yes, and in the staff's defense, this was planning and zoning, and now they call it natural resources, I believe. They do good work. It's just we have a flawed process, which resulted in kind of an odd conversation last night. But as you pointed out, this has taken 17 years to get to this point. And it does that because we have a really convoluted process that people, you and I, the rest of the community, need to pay attention to. The comprehensive plan gets developed, and that's community input. Well, no, it's not. It's a dozen or two people who are really interested in something. They turn out and say something.
It's and a user group, basically.
It's a user group, yes. And people in the neighborhood, and I respect the fact that they live a lot closer to wherever the development is than I do, should have more of a say. Get that. But this is a real classic case in point. The people, rightly so, want to keep larger lots, keep a rural atmosphere, et cetera. But for the potential profit in the end that they've calculated, give or take $150,000, the borough should offer that to the surrounding neighborhood. If you want to control this, put in whatever zoning you want, you just write a check. And in this case, you know, oddly enough, the borough would come out ahead and the neighbors would come out ahead for $150,000, which if you divide that up amongst a couple of dozen neighbors, really isn't too much for protecting your investment, which I get their point. They want that rural atmosphere, but dig in your pocket. And then you figure out how much people really do want something. We only really want what we're willing to pay for. And that should be, in my mind, the driver. And I think we'd come up with much more sensible long-term development and people paying more attention to it. Because it is. We're getting, you know, relatively crowded. And we do have to listen to our neighbors and make that work out. But, you know, it started out on the wrong foot, and then 17 years later, we come up with what appears to be, to the general public, a ridiculous idea, and we kind of blame it on the planning department. But No, they're doing as good as they can within the rules they have to work with. So got to defend them on that one.
Yep.
And then what we got to do?
Break time.
Break time. Yes, it is quarter past the hour, so we're going to go into a break for some commercial announcements, and we will be right back. Stick with us.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fish on! The Valdez Fishing Report is brought to you by Frontier Outfitters. Drop in and explore their extensive fishing department. Rods to reels, lures to lines. You'll see fresh and saltwater, as well as fly fishing tackle for every game fish in Alaska. Stock up on supplies for your Alaska-sized summer of fun. Coolers to camping gear. Frontier Outfitters is your first stop to making your next outdoor adventure a success. Your store for the outdoors. Frontier Outfitters, for your Alaskan lifestyle.
It's time for the Valdez Fishing Report. Interviews, derby standings, tips, and advice for Prince William Sound. Lori Prox here with Andy Four of Valdez, Alaska, reeled in a 12.80-pound silver salmon from Allison Point. So for someone who hasn't fished Allison Point, can you run us through the process of what you need, where you park, all the details? So if someone's listening up in Fairbanks, say, they kind of get a general idea of how to get that done.
My suggestion, any place between the fish hatchery and Allison's Point. And the equipment to use is generally a 4,000 reel with a 7-foot rod and 30-pound test line, and just throw it as far as you can, let it sink, then reel in.
Yeah. Tell us what you used to catch your 12.80-pounder.
It was an orange line Z with a silver back, and the weight was a 7-8 ounce.
And for folks who don't know, it's pretty easy to park, and then there are some trails down, but I mean, literally some of the best fishing is 10 feet off the road.
Yeah, Davial Road parallels the road, and you can park along there anywhere.
What was it like over there? I know sometimes on the Key and I hear it's combat fishing. I've been there, and it's very different, right?
It is. So you're right along the road. Weekends, I would suggest anybody staying away if they possibly can. Through the week's not too bad.
Weekdays are a little bit better, huh?
Yes, absolutely. The next 3 weeks to a month, the fishing should be fabulous. And if you come after the 4th, there will be a lot of space there.
Call Fish Central and get out on the water to catch fish and fill your freezer this summer. Fish Central can hook you up with charter reservations or a rental boat and give you the advice you need to navigate the local waters. Once you've caught your limit, Fish Central can process your fish too. Book with Fish Central and get 10% off your processing. Visit fishcentral.net or call 907-835-5002 to book your fishing adventure today.
KVAK's Valdez Fishing Report. Fish Valdez and reel in a big one.
KFAR Weather.
Isolated rain showers likely today, otherwise cloudy skies expected. High temperatures reach up to 60. Winds out of the southwest, 10 to 20 miles an hour. Slight chance of rain showers tonight. Lows dip down to about 40. Mainly cloudy skies expected. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Derek Height.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
And we are back. Thank you for staying with us. You're listening to Problem Corner on KFAR, 660 AM, 97.5 FM. Your guest host this morning is Mike Prox, and with me in the studio we have Assembly member speaking on his own behalf. Brett Roderman. And we're kind of chatting about last night's assembly meeting. But before we get into that, the Valdez Fishing Report. I don't know if you haven't been down to Valdez to take advantage of the fishing, it's a lot of fun. It's so much fun just to watch kids along Dayville Road catching pink salmon. And it's not like Chitna, where you kind of got to know what you're doing or you're going to fall in the river. It's a lot easier. It's a great opportunity. I think the contest is going to be over this weekend, I believe. But good opportunity. Put that on your schedule to take advantage of it.
Yeah, hard to believe the season's coming to an end.
It is.
You know, here we are. I'm theoretically, weather permitting, heading to the cabin tomorrow to get ready for duck camp, you know, on September 1st. So here we go. You know, hunting season is on us already. Boy, summer just flew by this year.
Yes, it did. But a beautiful summer.
Yes.
Just great. Yes. So, yeah. So, yeah, the lessons learned from that hearing. And like I say, it was, I really enjoyed it. And there were different points of view. And we really have, I've had a couple of the other experiences with planning. We're trying to do, straighten out something with Freeman Road. And they have just really been helpful to us. And so I do have to mention that the planning department is a bunch of good hands working there. So
we, you know, honestly, we have some really great people at the borough. We really do.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that they get bogged down in the bureaucracy and the process, and it gets frustrating. And like any other employee, I think under certain circumstances, you just kind of throw your arms up in the air, you know, and that's totally natural.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's done it. We've all worked in situations like that where you see a better way, but it just can't be done. You know, one of the things that frustrates me since I've been on the assembly, when I suggest things, I hear the thing, well, Mr. Roderman, well, we just can't do it that way.
Right.
You know, it's just, and it's like, well, why can't we do it that way? Well, because of this, 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 and this. Well, what if we fix this, 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 and this?
Yep.
Well, no, we can't do that because of this, you know?
Yeah.
And it's so easy to hide behind process and bureaucracy. And I'm sure you see that at times 100 in Juneau.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's so easy to say no. Because it's really easy to say no. It's really hard to say yes.
Let's
do something about that. Let's fix that. Let's dive in. Now you gotta get allies on your side. You gotta form a committee. You know, you gotta do all the stuff. So, yeah, that's when it gets interesting.
It does, and it's extremely frustrating. And I get calls from people all the time, and most of the time it's just not quite understanding the process, and it takes a while to figure it out. But here we are. We, you know, life moves on, civilization moves in,
there are times when it can be rewarding. You know, last night was one of them. I don't remember when you walked in, but I don't know if you missed some of the rezones that we did last night. Here are these folks coming to us. They've got some property. They want to do something different. They're thinking outside the box.
Mm-hmm.
They want to develop something. They're motivated, and they're turning to the assembly to get permission to do this. They need a rezone to pull this off. We listen. We debate. We vote. And we sent you know, a couple of groups out of that, you know, chambers last night, grinning from ear to ear.
Yeah.
You know, so there are sometimes when it's very rewarding.
Yes.
You know, because here we're going to get some great new housing opportunities.
Yeah.
You know, one along the river, one out towards Esther, coincidentally, not talking about this last one we were talking about, but, and, you know, that's good stuff.
Yep.
So, you know, we did some liquor license stuff, you know, so we protected, you know, our local businesses here. So it's not always gloom and doom on the assembly. It's just sometimes the process can kind of drag you down.
It does. Yes, it does. It is very frustrating. But, yeah, the trick is to overcome that and at least appreciate that others are trying to do their best too. Just different life experience, and then we have to talk to each other and listen to each other and see what the real difference is. And then, well, you find this out, I'm sure. When the meeting adjourns, you walk around, talk to different assembly members, and as you talk to each other over time, you come together at least a little bit, and that's what we need to do. And then just, it is, civic engagement is just really important. That is, it's frustrating, but we really are an opportunity that we have in this country, in this state. We have the opportunity. It's just we have to accept the responsibility that goes along with the opportunity. And We just have to do that because we're getting further and further dividing into camps, and this isn't a good trend. I'm a little concerned. I'm more than a little concerned about that.
Well, it's supposed to be representative government.
Yep.
You know, that's what the founders saw. They wanted this debate. You know, I've said it publicly. I've said it on this radio station. I've said it at the dais. I do not want to sit here with eight other people that think exactly the way I think.
Right.
That sounds great in theory, you know, and that's the way, you know, we kind of talk amongst our circle of influence. And wouldn't it be great if we ruled the world, you know, and everybody listened to us? But honestly, you need the debate. There was things that came up last night when that ordinance came up, there were things I was not thinking about until Bruce Womack, you know, got up and testified. And then we had some of the other developers there. And it's all of a sudden it was like, what in the heck are we doing here? Why is government developing something? We have no reason doing this stuff, you know. So that is all part of the debate. And if you guys don't think that you can be part of the process, last night was the classic example of how you can be part of the process. Those folks that came to us to testify on behalf of their rezones, if they hadn't shown up to testify, I think we probably would have voted for those rezones based on, you know, the administration's staff report. But who knows? You know, sometimes you need to hear from these developers, and that's happened before, you know. And so, yeah, if you guys don't think that you can't be part of the process, you can. Now, sometimes it's frustrating. You're going to come down, you're going to pour your guts out to us for 3 minutes, and we're going to ignore you, and you're going to walk out disappointed. But we didn't always ignore you. Look at the legislative priorities. When that came up, we had a couple of very interesting people testify on legislative priorities that could fall in your lap. In Juneau, and that's all part of the process, you know. And all of a sudden, we started scratching our heads. The, you know, the guy that was there talking about the squatters' rights thing. All of a sudden, I was like, he's been before us before, and we kind of brushed him off, you know. And then he and, you know, his partner showed up to testify, and all of a sudden, it's like, well, maybe this is a thing, you know. So... This stuff comes up, you know, and I'm sure for you guys in Juneau, when you listen to people coming at you from all, we get to hear it only from the borough, you're hearing it from all over the state.
Right.
You really have some different perspectives, you know.
Yeah, and you get those people from Anchorage. Oh, my stars.
Oh, sure.
People from Anchorage. But
well and, it, you know, do, you and I were talking last night after the meeting, the people on the North Slope borough, they have no concept of money.
Right.
Money just literally falls from the sky.
Yep.
Their budget is insane for the number of people that they have compared to our budget here in the Fairbanks North Star Borough.
Yep.
So it's a completely different perspective, you know.
Yeah.
When Will Stapp was talking about going out, you know, to Unalaska and Dutch Harbor, you know, that is such a micro community with a micro economy. They can't begin to understand what we... Our view here is here in the interior.
Yep.
Just like Anchorage can't understand what we pay for energy here in the interior.
Yep.
So, you know, it's all interesting stuff.
It is. Yes. It's fun. Oh, wait.
Yep. We're going to break. I hear
the
music.
Yep. The satellite is coming over. It's going to take over. So we better turn that up and stand by for some news and weather and some announcements. And we will be back with you. Stick with us.
Thank you.
Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM.
Fox News, I'm Tom Graham. Texas Republican Governor Greg Abbott signing a controversial redistricting bill into law could potentially result in the GOP picking up 5 U.S. House seats during next year's midterms.
Texas is now more red in the United States Congress.
Texas Democrats releasing a statement saying they will keep fighting the measure in court, calling the new maps racially discriminatory. Democrats pushing back against President Trump's threats to deploy National Guard troops to fight crime in big cities like Baltimore and Chicago.
You call up the National Guard when you have an emergency. There is no emergency here.
Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker says crime is trending down in Chicago. The Trump administration has boasted about a drop in crime in the nation's capital after that federal takeover of the Washington, D.C. police, particularly pointing to homicides and carjackings in Washington. America is listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
Radio Kenai reports the turquoise waters of the Upper Kenai River have landed Cooper Landing on a new list of America's most coveted adventure destinations. A national survey of more than 3,000 respondents ranked Cooper Landing as the number 30 active vacation spot in the U.S., earning it the top placement for Alaska communities. The survey, conducted by BetterNurse.org, highlighted Cooper Landing as a premier base for fishing, rafting, and wildlife viewing. The Kenai River churns, bends, and glows the surreal turquoise as it cuts through the peninsula, and Cooper Landing is the perfect base to take it all in, the survey notes. Anglers chase salmon runs while rafters drift the upper river, eyes peeled for bald eagles and bears along the shore. The recognition adds to Cooper Landing's reputation as both a world-class fishing hub and a gateway to outdoor recreation on the Kenai Peninsula. And finally, from all of us here at the news desk, have a fun and wonderful but safe Labor Day holiday weekend.
Online at KFAR660.com.
70 hours. That's the average time between each gun suicide in Alaska. That's less than 3 days. Help more Alaskans live longer by keeping your guns locked, unloaded, and away from ammunition. Storing guns safely is an important way to help prevent deaths of children, teens, or anyone in a difficult situation. If you or someone you know is in crisis, contact the 988 Suicide and Crisis Lifeline by calling or texting 988. This message is sponsored by the Alaska Division of Behavioral Health, aired by the Alaska Broadcasters Association, and this station.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
And we are back. Thank you for hanging in there with us. You're listening to Problem Corner, 660 AM, 97.5 FM. Your guest host this morning is Mike Brox. And with me in the studio is Brett Roderman. And we have been chatting about local planning and zoning and development. But we should pivot to the gas line that is moving forward. And in my way of thinking, there's a lot of things coming into alignment, and this is looking better and better. And we should think about this in terms of, this probably is going to happen. Now what are we going to do?
it's looking like, we were talking, Mike and I were talking during the break that, I moved here in 1991, and obviously all the talk was gas line, gas line, gas line. We've heard that since before the oil pipeline. Nothing has happened. And once I settled into Alaska and I learned about, the issues here and politics and how all this went, very quickly realized, and I said it to a lot of people, over the years, that in my opinion, we were never going to get a gas line until Anchorage ran out of gas. But I never thought that would happen in my lifetime. I mean, how is that possible? They sit on this massive basin full of gas, and then what? 2 years ago, a year and a half, 2 years ago, I pick up the newspaper and all of a sudden, guess what the headline is? Anchorage is out of gas.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden it becomes, Katie bar the door, here we go.
Right.
Glen Farne is down there right now building massive tank farms. They're already, bringing in natural gas by barge to supplement the basin. And as I understand it, from my research, there's tons of gas still in that basin. It's just really expensive to get it now.
Right.
They pulled out all the easy gas.
Yes.
And now it's too expensive. The developers can't go get it. And so all of a sudden, Anchorage is in crisis mode. And of course, for us up here, we kind of chuckle because they've been heating their homes for $200 a month at the peak of winter. We're heating for $1,000 a month.
Right.
You know, and, you know, I talk to a lot of people down in Anchorage because I deal with a lot of vendors down there. And I tell them, you know, what we pay for electricity and our heat up here. They are just stunned. Mm-hmm. They're about to have their eyes opened. If they have to start barging in all of that gas, all of a sudden their heat bills are going to double or triple,
right?
And they're going to get a real eye opener. So yeah, I think you know, with the new administration in D.C., certainly Dunleavy has been pushing this gas line hard. He's been working overseas to try to bring on partners. The stars and the planets are starting to align. This is a real possibility.
Yep.
I mean, I think now. It's harder to believe that it's not going to go than it is to believe that, you know, it will go.
Yep.
So.
Yep. I was on the assembly, I don't know, 20, 25 years ago, and that's when we formed the Port Authority and hired Bechtel was a partner in it.
Yep, I remember that.
And they looked at it and said a few things had to align, tax policy, a few other things, but it looked good. And the owner companies were when they reported back to the assembly, and they says, yes, we've spent 10 times that much money studying it, and we agree if these things happen, it looks like it might move forward. And we're happy to sell you the gas. It doesn't fit our business model, if you will. We would like more return, but if somebody else is willing to build it, go ahead. Well, at the time, we forgot to talk to the Oil and Gas Conservation Commission, and their mandate is to get the maximum value out of the total hydrocarbon that's there. And they said, you know, if you take off those volumes of gas at that time, you're going to reduce the oil recovery off the slope. So we cannot approve this at this time. But in about 25 years, that would be 2025, if you will, the Prudhoe Bay Basin kind of converts from an oil basin to a gas basin. You've gotten most of the oil out, and now you can take out those kind of volumes. So that's a big deal. And the world market has changed for LNG. LNG at the time wasn't even a thing.
Right.
And that's changed a bunch. And they've done some studies. The price of getting more oil out of Cook Inlet is going up and up and up and probably will continue because that's an old oil field. I mean, gas field. Well, it's an oil field, but it's oil and gas. But, yes, it's getting more expensive to get gas out of there. So a lot of things lining up. It looks like and this was deliberately decided that phase one, if you will, can phase one pan out just for in-state demand, and it looks like it could. And I think once you get there are some commitments, not hard dollar. Nobody has written a check yet, but we heard from Taiwan. When was that? Just earlier this summer. That they're interested in getting a big volume. But my thought is that if the pipeline gets going even, that becomes a certainty that will happen, then the rest of the investment will probably fall into place because we've taken out the biggest risks, if you will. The pipeline is the most risky part of it. And when that gets going, I am optimistic and, you know, studies show
that
this could certainly work.
Yeah, I think the key to the whole thing is the international markets. And I think the current administration saw that, which is why I think you've been seeing so many headlines, you know, coming out with the classic handshake pictures in the paper, you know, over these deals, you know, with people that want to get a hold of this gas. And like you said, LNG was not a thing back in the day. You know, back in the day, it was how do we get it to market in gaseous form? Well, now we don't need to do that. We can build, you know, liquefaction plants. We're building one right now for IGU. It's going to theoretically, it's going to come online here in another month or so. They've had a lot of delays, and we figured that in that project. You know, they had projected, oh, we're going to be online at such and such a time. And I thought to myself, eh, I bet you that's not going to happen because I know how these big projects go. But, you know, here we've got this big liquefaction plant. You know, we're going to start trucking gas from the North Slope here within the next handful of months.
Right.
We're going to have our first truck roll into Fairbanks, the very first North Slope gas that'll be burned here in Fairbanks, you know. And a lot of people are talking about this spur line thing, and the way I look at the spur line is, you know, they're projecting it at, what, $83 million to build the spur line or something like that. You know, if this project is economically viable, it's going to have to be economically viable on a huge scale.
Yes.
$83 million at that point is probably going to be a drop in the bucket. I think we can figure something out on that end. I think the problem for Fairbanks might be, what are we going to pay at that tap on the main line, which will be out really, honestly, it'll be just kind of behind and south of my cabin out in the Mento Flats. It'll literally be at the Goldstream Valley. That's where the tap will come off. What are we going to pay, you know, right there? So
we have a
phone call.
Excuse me. We have a phone call, so we better go to the phone line. Good morning. You're on KFR, and who am I speaking with?
Yep, we lost him.
We did something wrong.
Or you didn't push the button right.
Oh, I didn't push the on buttons. Let's try
there
that
you
again.
Go. Try that again.
KFAR.
Fine.
And who am I speaking with?
Mel.
Mel, go ahead. What's on your mind?
Well, I called this just you started the conversation of the trucking plan from the North Slope. And because that's been in the works, you know, they keep delaying when the first truck is going to come. And actually, that was what instigated my calling before you actually started talking about it. When is the first truck going to roll?
Well, that has been changing. We just did get a report from IGU the other day at the assembly, and they are hoping within the next month or two that the plant might be online. They've this was a pretty huge construction project. I didn't realize how big it was going to be. I got to see it from the very first pictures of the pad all the way to the plant now, and it's a pretty major project. So they've had their setbacks, but theoretically, we're supposed to get our first gas here in the next couple of months.
Right.
Well, can I throw my two cents in? Because I'm nowhere near, you know, IGU's clientele. I mean, I'm out, you know, out of ways, out of town. I don't, and it's fine. I have no empathy for not being part of IGU. But just my perspective, having been here since 1970, you know, this whole gas line thing. I don't want to say I'm skeptical. I mean, if it means skeptical, it's not going to happen unless we have investors. I don't care what Trump or Dunleavy or anybody says. It's not economically feasible, and all of the plans for intra-Alaska gas were just not a big enough market to have anybody spend the money to provide 600,000 or 700,000 people on the rail belt with natural gas. It's just not. We're too small a market. And they have all these grandiose plans, you know, to have, like, you know, lower 48 bigger cities with closer to resources, you know, to gas. It's just not going to happen. And as skeptical I was about the trucking plan with, you know, significant improvements to the Dalton Highway, yeah, it'd be nice to have a railroad up there to transport the gas or whatever, or a pipeline. It's not going to happen. Surface transportation may be our best interim bet, and work on Cook Inlet, but that takes huge investment for the market. And I think people are just oblivious to the what do we call the economy of scale. People think that we're a huge economy. We're not a huge economy up here. We're a diddly economy, and if, you know, to develop resources, you know, some of the grandiose plans, including the gas pipeline, they're just not going to happen. They haven't been happening since the oil pipeline, and they're not going to happen. And people that, you know, Dunleavy and Trump, and who says they're going to spend trillions investing in our gas deposits, that's just it's fantasy. It's not going to happen. That's I'll hang up and listen to your responses.
Okay, very good. And we're coming up on a quarter to the hour. That means we have to take a quick break, and we will address that.
After the break.
After the break. So stay with us.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Hi, it's Chuck Indereed, your host for Shooter's Corner, the show dedicated to firearms conversation and education and the shooting sports. You'll be on target for fascinating guests, expert tips, gear reviews, plus thrilling stories. Get the lowdown on local 2A events and more. You won't want to miss a single episode. Join me, Chuck Indereeden, every Thursday morning at 11 for Shooter's Corner, where precision meets passion. Sponsored in part by Auto Trim Design. Listen right here on KFAR 660 AM.
With summer winding down, tree and brush cutting season is just ramping up. Now is the time to get those large leaning or hanging trees taken care of. Maybe it's brush along your road or drive. Get it all taken care of at once with help from the one and only Great Alaska Tree Company. Eric and his crew have been handling Alaska trees and brush for years, keeping your home and property clear from danger and trouble that lurks in the winter. So get it done now.
Hi, this is Eric with Great Alaska Tree Company. Call me for a free estimate or your year-round and emergency service at 978-47.
KFAR weather.
Rain likely today. Otherwise, cloudy skies expected. Daytime highs approaching 60. Southwesterly winds 10 to 20 miles per hour. Slight chance of rain showers tonight. Lows level off around 40. Mainly cloudy skies expected. Daytime highs approaching 57 tomorrow. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
And we are back. Thank you for staying with us. You're listening to Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 660 AM, 97.5 FM. Your guest host this morning is Mike Prox, and with me in the studio is Brett Roderman. And we're starting to get some callers in, so I think we should go take another phone call. We're talking about the potential for the gas line. And good morning. You're on KFAR, and who am I speaking with?
This is Charles.
Charles, what can we do for you today?
The reason Mel is right about that gas line economy in particular is gas. Natural gas is regulated completely differently than the crude oil system. And if you look at the whole thing, to me it looks like it's based on theft, actually, to be true. So that's my thoughts.
Okay.
Thank you.
Well, very good. And point well taken. It has been many different plans over the years, the last 40, almost 50 years now. But I invite you to go to Alaska Gas Line Development Corporation's website and look at their reports over, really, over the years. The last one was done by an outfit called Wood Mackenzie, and they're an internationally recognized and respected evaluator of these, third-party evaluator of these, and the... The conclusion is that the conditions have changed enough that it looks like it will eventually work.
Well, population base, though.
Well, we have that based on all of that.
I don't believe it.
Well, and that's fine.
Hey, thanks for letting us call in, Mike.
All right.
Hang up.
Yep.
Listen.
Very good. Yes.
Okay. Bye.
So I think Mike, what the callers might be missing here is I tend to agree with the callers. You know, if you take just Fairbanks and Anchorage as a user group, I can't believe that a multi-billion dollar project is probably going to pan out. Mm-hmm. But what Mike is trying to say, and of course he is definitely more in tune to this at the state level than I am at the local level, but the world marketplace has changed.
Yep.
Not the Alaska market. The Alaska marketplace is a fixed market. You know, when I came to Alaska, our population was almost the same as it is today, and I came here 34 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's going to remain pretty stationary, unless, of course, the gas line goes. Then we're going to have a huge population increase. Yep. But that said, the world market has changed for gas. Mm-hmm. And what we have to understand is that way back when, the term LNG didn't even exist.
Right.
Gas moved in a different way. It was regional. Now we can move it on a global market with tankers.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I totally understand the caller's skepticism about this, but you have to think outside of Alaska. Alaska is just one part of the market. We can leverage that for cheaper energy, but we're going to rely on the global market to pick up the slack. And this is exactly what other countries like, I don't know, Russia does.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're leveraging that for their own people, but they're selling it on the world market. So we have to realize we're in a global economy now, and we have to think outside of Alaska. All I know, and Mike and I were talking about this in the break, was in 34 years of living here, I've never seen this closer.
Yes.
I believe the stars and the planets are aligning. Now, we're supposed to get a report here in December or January from Glenn Farn that says this is a go or it's not a go.
Right.
If it's a go, I'm ecstatic. If it's not a go, I'm going to be disappointed, but I'll be like, oh, well, history repeats itself once again. One more study of the gas line, and it didn't go.
Yeah.
And so I'm prepared either way.
Yeah. Yeah. And a key difference is that at this point, there are federal loan guarantees backing it, which makes a difference.
Which we haven't had in the past.
Nope. And it will be a decision that a private investors, they have to get others to go with them, but they are taking on the risk. The state is not taking on the risk. So there's really, if you will, real low downside to this. But we will know. The Glenn Farn is saying that their final investment decision is going to be made in December, and then it'll either be a go or a no-go. And then when I talked to them last week, we met with them, I said, you know, the second worst thing that could happen is that this doesn't go. The worst thing that could happen is that it gets started and then it falls apart. It's a big project, and just reminding them, and they know way more about it than I do, be careful. Try and identify what can go wrong, and at this point, we, the public, and the state should be thinking about how can we help them reduce the risks. If there's anything that we can do, we should evaluate that and help them out at least until December and make it increase the possibility. We have another call. Let's go to the callers, and we'll go from there. Good morning. You're on KFAR, and who am I speaking with?
Randy.
Randy, what can we do for you?
Well, your last two callers were rather skeptical and cynical about the whole thing.
Yep.
And my opinion about those two callers is that they're old fogies that have been here a long time.
Well, you're one of those too, Randy.
Yeah.
Yes, yes. I was going to say, I'm also an old fogey that have been here for over 50 years, and I've seen the up and down and the euphoria that's just about to happen.
Yep.
And then, of course, it all fizzles out. And so I am also kind of very skeptical, but I'm hopeful, of course. I imagine they would like it if it could happen, but I would like to see if it could happen. But my main point here in calling is to say that I hope we don't mess this up. If there is a thin hair's worth of possibility that this could go, I hope that Fairbanks, the people of Fairbanks, don't get too pushy and belligerent and pugnacious about insisting that they have to be part of it, and then allow some environmental group to sue the spur line or something and tie it up in court and delay it until the whole thing fizzles out and Trump's out of office and the whole thing goes down the drain. I hope it's okay to ask if we could be included as a spur line, but I'd rather see the spur line be done differently. The only thing I'd like to see maybe kind of guaranteed, if hopefully, is that whatever the gas price is right at the tap that we might eventually connect a spur line to, we'll get it at the same price, at least no more than what Anchorage is getting it for, since we're closer. But just don't mess it up. I mean, I want to see this thing go if there's a ghost of a chance that it can go.
Yes. Well, and that's a good point. The there is some things that we can work on, and we should be working on as the Fairbanks delegation to get, if you will, the best deal that we can for Fairbanks. And there's some ways that that can't work, and there's some ways that it might be able to work. So we should be thinking about how can we do our best efforts to make it work. But the key point is that if the main line isn't installed, the spur line makes no difference.
Yeah,
right.
The key thing to focus on is do what we can. Look at this from the perspective of let's help get her done. Let's, you betcha, look at getting the best out of it. And there's more to it than just the spur line. There's the construction opportunities that are there. And even, you know, if we don't, worst case scenario, we don't get a spur line built. That isn't economical. Well, there's still, if you get the gas down to Anchorage, there's generators down there that can produce power then off of gas and send that electricity up to Fairbanks. So there will be some benefit, even if we don't get everything that we want. That doesn't mean we shouldn't try to get the best deal. That means don't cut off our nose to spite our face. That would be,
well,
that would be a mistake.
And don't do what we did last time. You know, Randy said, let's not screw it up. Don't screw it up as a state. But remember the last go around, you know, looking back in history from what I've read, Fairbanks kind of screwed it up. Why in the world are all the oil companies' headquarters in Anchorage?
Yep.
We screwed it up. We said, yeah, build your headquarters here. We're going to tax you to death, you know, but build here. Why would you not build here? You're right in the middle of the pipeline.
Yep.
Anchorage said, nah, we'll give you a 20-year moratorium on taxes. Come down here and build everything. Why do you think Anchorage has become what it is?
Yep.
I don't want to become a big city like Anchorage, but I'm just saying there's economic development here that could be looked at if we don't chase these guys off, you know?
Yes.
So.
And frankly, yes, I think the same thing, that over the last 40, 50 years, Fairbanks has not had the right approach to it.
Correct.
Expect that we have to get, you know, if you will, more than we're entitled to, and get the competition going between Fairbanks and Anchorage, and we'd be much better off if we looked at it from a different perspective of how can we help you make this work out?
How can we be partners?
How can we, partner with us and be arm's length partners, that's fine, but partners, not adversaries. And we will come out further ahead if we think about it that way.
Yep.
And don't be stupid. I'm not advocating that. No. There are challenges that we've got to think about and see if we can get through them. There's going to be a huge demand for labor. Well, how do we prepare for that? There's things that we can do to
and
make
we're going to have to be prepared for that. If this thing goes, you know, a guy like me, a small business with three guys working for me, guess where my three guys are going to go?
They're going to be gone. Yes.
You know, so that's something
those,
we have to think about
happen.
As
yeah.
we go into the future here.
Yeah. Another little tidbit. The railroad has been working for quite a few years to finish that Port McKenzie project. That's another little twist that came up. Now is a good time to think about that. That building that project could work out for the railroad, and it could work out for the pipeline construction to just reduce the expense of importing, transporting, and putting the sections of pipe together. We might have a real win-win. We got to check that out. But it looks like I hear the, or it sounds like I hear the satellite in the background, so we're going to have to dog it off at
we're
this
done.
Point. We're
but
done.
We're real done quick, don't forget to pay your taxes. They're due on Tuesday. I'd be remiss as a borough assembly person to not remind you that your borough taxes are due on Tuesday. So there you go.
All right. Well, thank you for listening to us today. Thank you for those who called in. And we will have to say goodbye. We have to listen to the news. We'll talk to you later.
Enough is enough is enough with this guy.
660 AM, KFAR, Fairbanks.
A new
court fight over money and bathrooms. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News. Two Virginia school districts taking the Trump administration to court over a funding freeze related to transgender students. Fairfax.